Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, that's the man Stevie. Stevie got vision, y'all. Stevie got vision that you and I don't have. This is Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne. This is K Son and Friends. If you're listening on this Wednesday, the 14th, you caught us live. I was just sleeping a little while ago. Just woke up to the same old news being reported. I'm living out the fellas. Legendary newsman Wayne Gilman, the legendary historian Byron Saunders, the fellas, the friends, K Son and Friends. But I was saying there's an attempt, obviously, as we all can see, in this country to miseducate people. To have people so miseducated that they'll believe anything, so ignorant that they'll believe anything, certain number of people that are in that category. There are a number of people in the category that are willing to believe anything based around their hatred because they hate so much, because they want a society that gave preferential treatment, a white supremacist society that gave preferential treatment to people like them. And so they keep it ignorant. I think that if, as we're looking at all of these voter ID laws, voter restriction laws, all this made-up bullshit, that all of these Republicans and all of these state legislatures across the country are what they're really trying to do, as you and I know, listening here, that they are trying to take the vote away from black people, right? Black and brown people. Ever since I was a kid, when I first came into this world, that was an issue. I'm born in the 60s, right? The early 60s, when the Civil Rights, Voting Rights Act, whatever needed to be voted on, ratified, decided, whatever, to give a group of people, human beings, the right to self-determination by individuals who do not want to give it to us, who want to see us as slaves. They want to see us as slaves. They still want to see us as slaves. What else, what other objective, what other conclusion can you draw from people who are trying to constantly change the rules when they don't like the outcome of a system that they have set up? People are making up lies when the facts don't turn out the way they want them to turn out. What else can be said? What else can be said? And they'll talk around it. Well, it's about this. It's about that. Listen, one thing I know about politics, and it's a very bottom line way to look at it. If you are consistently for something that you know systematically hurts a particular group of people, and you have been made aware of that, and you continue to be for that thing, the conclusion can be drawn that you are anti that group of people. There can be no other conclusion, no matter how you talk around it, make up the little lies or whatever bulls that these racist, savage people want to make up. There's a section of them that they want to see us back as slaves. That's the bottom line. And as they take away these rights and feed these lies to their people that want to believe them, of course, surely in this day and age, one needs only use their own powers of observation to choose what is right or wrong for themselves, right? It ain't like, you know, information is hard to get across the country. You got to wait for the wire, the telegraph, the Pony Express, or whatever kind of bullshit used to happen before. We used to be justified. There's no reason now. If someone used just the very basic, what they call the golden rule standard, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, then there is no reason for people to not realize that in this day and age, all people are created equal. And to make up something, to make up a system, because you feel inferior, is truly a sickness. To make up a system that says these people are subhuman, while at the same time having sex with these subhuman species. What kind of sickness is with these individuals? I saw something on the TCM, Turner Classic Movies. They have a little documentary called, they call it The Brief History of Blackface in America. And it got to the psychology of white America and the minstrel as being one of the original forms. Minstrels show that whole kind of entertainment was one of the original forms of entertainment in America. And I would suggest that if you get a chance to watch this little documentary, it's cool, it's about a half hour. But it talked about when people started doing blackface, right? It was a way, one notion was that it was a way that white America could take the fear out of these black individuals, these black species, that they're just a people who needs to, a species that needs to be guided and taken care of, and they can't take care of themselves. And so in the blackface thing, the people that would perform in blackface, that was a way to, I guess, demystify the mysterious Negro, right? But in that, they also talked about how many of these individuals, once they put on the blackface, they would get the whole mammy thing. And someone, one of the people also said it's like they're able to release their emotions. They're able to be freer when they hide behind that black skin. I thought it was really deep that the fact that, wow, you could really, I mean, and they had, like, if you go look at some of these old movies, they got, like, big kind of chorus scenes, you know, like hundreds of people in blackface. It's crazy, right? And I was like, wow. It struck me. I was like, wow, these people hate us so much, but then they wanted to put this shit on their face, stuff on their face, to emulate what they think black people are and make a cottage industry off of that for a long time. People didn't, you know, Al Jolson, that was his thing. And people could barely accept it when he had to come out of blackface. Said they longed for that time, a time when black people were slaves, to want to make up a society so you could have a class of people that you can just treat any old way. What kind of sickness, what kind of sick, diabolical, any other adjective that you could come to mind that would describe the worst type of person ever, what kind of individuals would do that? Maybe, just maybe, they recognize when they see the original man and original woman walk the face of the earth and the jealousy gets them so much. Sometimes, I've often said, you've heard me say on this broadcast before, ladies and gentlemen, that I think it's biblical, right? Since they call themselves Christians and evangelical, whatever kind of bullshit they say, it's biblical. Cain slew his brother Abel because his brother Abel had favor in God's sight. Cain, the white man, slew his brother Abel, the black man, because he had favor in God's sight. I don't know. I'm just saying, what's wrong with them that they hate so much that even at the point of having to share the world, talking about COVID, they would rather blow it up than destroy it. Let's get the fellas in here and talk about some of these things. Byron Saunders, legendary newsman, how you doing this evening?
Well, I'm down here in Washington, D.C. I'm doing just fine, Eric. And, you know, things are politically, of course, are always an interesting process ongoing, as they say, within the DMV, District, Maryland, and Virginia, and all things on the Capitol Hill and the White House and the country are slowly but surely moving towards a reckoning. You know, you were discussing what I really wanted to start off with this evening was the history, because it appears to me that right now there's a real need for a history lesson about why things are happening not just in Haiti and Cuba, because they're all interrelated. You have to remember the Haitian Revolution was from 1791 to 1804, and because of that revolution, it engaged for another almost 150 years of slave laws, police laws, anything to keep from having black people overcome and riot. That shook the world, Eric. And so it's what's happened in Cuba is that they tried to, I heard a talking here the other day, one of the, you know, really good news sessions, but the history he gave was wrong. He said, well, Cuba is has had to undergo the longest embargo of any nation in the Caribbean, and that's not true. Haiti has been under an embargo. Did you know, Eric, that Haiti had to pay France off for defeating them, and they didn't finish paying them off until the year 2004. Do you hear what I just said? That's the embargo that the world put around Haiti. Haiti has richness in its sugar and fruits and minerals, but they drained it and tried to create it for kicking France's butt. They put an embargo on it, and they offered the Dominican Republic to be freed from the Spanish, but they refused, and so that's why they don't like each other today. So there's a lot that's happening, and you remember 12 Years a Slave? Remember all these laws that were engaged and created as for Nat Turner? All of them, they're interconnected. That's why it's important to understand that it's as of, think about this, 7/12/1787. You know what law was created then? The Three-Fifths Compromise. So what are we talking about today? Voter suppression. See, it's interconnected.
The Electoral College was created in 1787. Describe what that is for our listeners, Byron.
Okay, the Three-Fifths Law is roughly determining how many electors to assign to each state, which is trying to make sure that the divide was between slave-owning and non-owning slave states. So they created this situation for which creating a slave as three-fifths of a human so that they could bring parity to the economic industrial north, which was beginning to boom, and the agrarian south, which was only tied to cotton and other farm products. And so they were trying to give the balance in Congress, and they came up with this rule, three-fifths rules, the three-fifths compromise, in order to give southern states opportunity to have balance in Congress, the basic concept of it. Now, as a result of that, Eric, then you had the Electoral College, which was divine at the same time. And so simply you can see where both of them, the Electoral College and the Three-Fifths Law, worked hand in hand to prevent folks from voting and ever having an opportunity to get equal status. But here's where it's even worse. The 14th Amendment was created around the same time. And you know that the 14th Amendment was created for specifically, this is where you have to really appreciate why history is so important. It's specifically that the amendment was bitterly contested, particularly by the states of the defeated Confederacy, which were forced to ratify it in order to regain representation in Congress. And they got reparations to come back in. That's why Andrew Johnson almost got impeached by one vote, because he was trying to repatriate the Southern gentry and bring them back in. And yes, this is why we are so screwed up today.
I mean, it's no surprise at all that it continued to try and every step of the way. They have resisted and tried to keep us in chains up until this day, and will continue until we put the lights out on them, for lack of a better phrase. Let's bring in Wayne Gilman.
The filibuster.
Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman in here. Hey, how you doing this evening?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen, man. I was just enjoying the conversation, you know. You said some things earlier, Eric, that I sort of resonated with me. I just happened to see the last 5 minutes of Joy Reid this evening, and occasionally channel surf. And, you know, sometimes there are things that they repeat during the course of the day that I've heard, and, you know, but she got into this this monologue about, and I didn't hear the beginning of it, but she had mentioned something, a word that I had not heard in quite some time. And when you were talking about the whole issue of, you know, blackface and the impact and the fact that, you know, we have not, in many instances, we've made an impact, we've progressed as a society, but there's still an element out there that would prefer seeing us in this comedic from the perspective of what those people find funny, those who support that sort of stuff. And when you, you know, basically juxtapose that with everything that our beloved historian Byron Saunders has, you know, come up with why we are so confused, you know, it's just bothersome that, you know, you want to feel that these people, they've heard enough, they've seen enough in the last 24 months. They figured with the passing of George Floyd and the, you know, the subsequent demonstrations and the killings and the, you know, the revisitation of what struggles black folk went through in civil rights, you would think that there was some sort of learning curve that, you know.
No learning curve.
We have enough problems.
That's the whole thing. I mean, that whole, I don't mean to cut you off. But that whole concept of thinking, with thinking that it would come around to it, come around to their senses, that's not their intent.
No, there's an agenda, and it's killing us. I mean, it, you know, to a certain extent, I felt somewhat anesthetized with the election of Joe Biden. I felt that, well, a lot of the hysteria that we were going through before, that anybody, even people from the other side, you know, witnessed the hysteria and felt that, you know, this man is not even worthy of another month, let alone another 2 years, you know, or 4 years, even if he had gotten reelected, there would have been bedlam. You know, they talk about the threat that the former Soviet Union and what Putin is doing. They talk about the threat from China. They talk all these big things that we should be concerned about in terms of our place in the world sphere. That, you know, if we want to preserve democracy and live comfortably the way, you know, we try to live, at least what the original concept is all about. But again, it just goes back to beating up on people who don't look like us. It goes back to what Joy Reid, I'm getting to my point now. I know I go around Robinson's barn on occasion. Forgive me. But Joy Reid mentioned the word octoroon, and I remember having a conversation, and I'm going to call him out on this, although I respect his opinion, and it was an honor at times to work with him, but I didn't know whether or not if he was coming from a comedic point of view or if he really meant some of the crap that would come out of his liberal tongue. And I'm talking about the former Senator Al Franken from the great state of Minnesota. He had used that word in a conversation with me, and I sort of took offense to it, you know, but I just didn't know. And again, these are the things that, you know, I look at the idiosyncrasies of even people who say that they're in favor of you, and yet they talk about stuff that really is irrelevant, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, whether I'm one-eighth or one-half or, you know, the deal is this ain't Plessy versus Ferguson, you know. And excuse me, but motherfucker, I'm just as equal as you are. Yes, I had an education. Don't sit there in amazement because I can handle the microphone that you do. You know? Don't hand me this nonsense. And I know, you know, wherever he was coming from at that time, he put this in context of a relationship he had with Richard Pryor. And again, dead man can't speak for himself. I didn't understand the context of basically what he's saying. But anytime I hear those words, and even if you feel comfortable to mention it to me, tells me something, because not every black person knows what that's about. But this is part and parcel, part of the game of divisiveness, light skin, dark skin, black versus white, the right to vote from those who can't vote. Freaking putting on blackface to denigrate a society because, you know, these people who, in many instances, who've raised their children, have given them a culture that they didn't even have before, you know, it's that kind of nonsense that gets under my skin. And I hadn't heard that word, you know, in almost 10 years. I hadn't worked with them in almost 10 years. And I just said, damn, man. You know, we're even though I remain hopeful that Biden is going to do things to bring about, you know, the equity and the discipline that we need in terms of voting and feeling that, you know, none of this regressive crap that the Republicans are doing. And forgive me, I try to make it a point not to curse, you know, during the show, but this thing just got under my craw. And ironically, I had no idea what you were going to talk about, Eric, but it just dug in my skin that here it is, you know, these are all the manifestations that we have to go through to maintain survival in this country. And when is it going to freaking end?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think we, as a nation, and probably globally too, is that we've been so conditioned to be confrontational on everything that when another method and a methodology is used to bring the temperature down so that confrontation can be the one of the options still on the table, because both will have those options on the table. But if you go in swinging your bat, where else are you going to go? So, I mean, I think there's some methodology of confrontation at work here, even though nobody's going to admit to it, but it does provide a different option of diplomacy. And it's about high time that we come back to that, because right now everything is confrontational. And it's a sad thing because not everybody should be at war.
Not amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, of course. So, I mean, but you think about it, it's a concept that is kind of think about his presentation. Did he rise oratorically? Hello. Yes, he did. But everybody's saying, well, where's the substance? But methodology is saying the substance is there's another process ongoing that's not in front of us because it's not necessary for us to see it.
Well, yeah, that's always what people always seem to forget about when they're talking about the politicians and the 24-hour news cycle and wanting to know everything all the time. It's, some stuff is top secret, and some stuff you don't need to know. And in terms of negotiation, talking about things, Although there are those who report the news and the talking heads, and they got to make their little headlines and say, well, Biden, are all the Democrats on board with Biden? Even he might be losing some of his Democrats, you know, just to create a little extra headline there. And also, too, I wonder what their objective is as well when they try to say certain things like that. Certainly, we need to think about seriously, or in my estimation, do away with the filibuster. Obviously, that needs to be done away with. As someone who understands why it was used initially and why it was put in there, yeah, but it was initially used to keep people, black people, from being free. And obviously, we know that the slave owners or the people who promoted slavery used the filibuster during Lincoln's time to keep it from happening, as I'm looking at Joe Manchin on the screen now. But what needs to happen is that what it caused me to think about, you know, that you, the supermajority, that a simple majority is not good enough. You need 62 people now and whatever in the Senate. This is what I'm talking about, how the rules keep changing. You know what I'm saying? How somebody will put a little, let's put this little tweak in the machinations or in the workings of how we structurally function in this organization. So now, instead of needing a simple majority, you need a super majority of 60. I was trying to figure out the other night, when did it go from being just you need 50, 51 to now you need 60? When did that take place? And I'm wondering, and I'm thinking, maybe did it really come to fruition during the Bush years when the Democrats had at one point control? Because it seems to be just as we seem to get close to the power, or seem to get parity in power, the goalpost gets moved by somebody, or somebody put a plan in place that the damn, you know, the voting says that's what's happening now with voting across the country at all these Republican legislatures, dominant Republican majority legislatures across the country. There's a mechanism. They put a little something in place so something else goes in effect in a certain year, and 2 years later this is going to go into effect, and then another 3 years later this will go into effect. So, and if they don't come back, we'll send them out to get arrested.
Eric,
they voted. They voted. Hold on, bro. They voted to have these cats arrested. That's where they're trying to go, back to making it a slave. And I think, as I'm seeing, as the more they become the minority in this country and try to maintain some power, they're going to try to structure it like an apartheid type system of South Africa. Watch. That's what they're going to try to work towards. You're going to say, Byron?
I just got to co-sign on what you're saying, because you're very, very, very absolutely correct in what they're trying to process to make happen. But here's the paradox of it all. Joe Manchin represents West Virginia. West Virginia came into the Union as a free state. They broke away from Virginia. Remember, they were the west part of Virginia. They broke away from them and came in as a free state, and he's sitting up there trying to filibuster whatever little power he has. So he really isn't representing the constituents of a state that came in as a free state. He needs to recognize his history, because at this point he's in the way, standing in the way, and for all the wrong reasons. And I think the Democrats from Texas have come up to be the symbolism of the wrong way. Mr. Smith comes to Washington to do what? He didn't come up here to play poker and drink and smoke cigars with the good old boys. He came to town to make our Constitution a stronger Constitution. So the symbolic part of the Texas Democrats escaping the Long Rangers, which happened to be a black man in there, so they're going to what, dispatch the black people to come get the white people? I don't think so. But that's another whole story, because they don't know their history, people. And I want to see them. I want to see him get arrested, so that the Attorney General can step in and put a kibosh on all of that crap.
Mm-hmm. And also, what I'm really excited about, regardless of all that, is the fact that Eric Adams is going to be mayor of New York, Wayne. I think that he's going to be a really good. Good mayor for a good time, and certainly for African Americans at this time too.
He, Yeah, I agree. I was on the fence about Eric, and so far he's made some pretty constructive moves. And he's certainly getting recognized because the incumbent I've had problems with. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with the incumbent a while ago, and there were just certain things, you know, that I felt, and again, this is like going off the pale to a certain extent about his vision of what was going on here in New York. And, you know, I think we all want to live in a civilized society. And I'm not saying that there weren't problems before things, before his rise to power. I'm talking about de Blasio. But if ever there's a need for a correction, it's one right now. I mean, I'm at a point, and I try not to take it seriously. Maybe if I were still actively working every day and going into Manhattan, Midtown, and Lower Manhattan, I would probably feel somewhat empowered because it's about a job. And today, because of what the pandemic has brought out, you know, we could work from anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are to do, well, at least the work I used to do with broadcasting and stuff like that. And but there's a certain level of lawlessness that is happening that we hadn't seen before, but it's all around the country. It's just that, you know, New York is always under a microscope. I mean, you lived in Los Angeles, and I'm certain it's the same thing there the few times I've been out there and stories that I've heard. But, you know, we need somebody who has a vision, and a vision that is not going to engage in all sorts of unusual rhetoric or things that there's a word I'm looking for, and it has nothing to do with being egotistical or anything like that. But it's just that we need a level head, and I think what the New York electorate saw was in the campaign that Eric conducted. He mentioned his history with the police department, and I've had interviews in recent months with people, some of his colleagues, former colleagues in the department, who couldn't stand him. And, you know, and I'm saying this on the air now, that if for some reason someone's listening, you know, he was welcome to come on and give us an opposing point of view. But the deal is very often, sometimes you have to shake up a system to create change. And that's it. I mean, meaningful change. And I'd like to think this is what Eric is about to do. But there's just so much turmoil, and I'm glad that he had a conference with the president the other day and vice president, because, you know, here's somebody who was a foot soldier before he became an elected official. And you know, he's got a tremendous task ahead of him. This ain't a David Dinkins period. And thank God, you know, even though there are elements out there that would probably still like to turn the clock back, because I really feel, and I am sorry that I ever gave Curtis Sliwa an opportunity to even grace our airwaves back in the day. Because, you know, this man just needs to go back to what he was doing. If he represents a certain agenda on the other side, stay there. But we don't need this divisiveness in New York anymore. We need people who have sound minds and want to work collectively for the good of humanity and maintain a certain civility that we are accustomed to, and we should have a right to live. You know, I mean, it's just out of control.
Curtis Sliwa had Rudy standing with him when he was, you know, endorsing him for mayor.
Oh, yeah, that was a signal. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention him a moment ago and the 10,000 of his minions that, you know, staged a demonstration for the PBA 1,000 years ago to make David Dinkins look like as if he didn't know what he was doing. But, you know, it's that kind of element that, you know, they're like pythons, you know, like they lay in the cut, they sneak in the weeds, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's a man who is under federal investigation, and in spite of all the problems that he's facing right now, he had time to showboat for a minute with Curtis, and then, you know, all of a sudden Trump, you know, I know I keep waiting for what's going to go on in August because there's all this subtle talk about another insurrection or whatever they're planning on doing, the subversive elements that support his agenda. But, you know, you see this man, you know, he's still promoting the lie. His world is coming slowly but surely to an end in terms of his businesses, and they just haven't gotten to him directly yet. But, you know, there's already talk that you know, his kids are going to turn on him, you know. So, I mean, this is what's coming in the backdrop.
You're talking about Trump now.
I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Okay. Let's talk about Rudy for 1 second. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're talking about Rudy. I mean, the Curtis Sliwa was nothing. The most recent, obviously, if anybody's been paying attention, is that he's mentioned in that book that he just came up with the idea to just say you won. Just you know, election night, Rudy was making a ruckus, and Stefan and Meadows thought that he was, you know, people thought he was drinking too much and he had to get to the president. And it was his idea to just, for the president to just say he won. Just say you won the election. Doesn't make a difference. And that was reported in just the last day or two about in this new book that's coming out. Also the fact that, you know, Rudy's been disbarred. I guess he's been disciplined in D.C. as well as New York. So, you know, if he...
Right, exactly. I had forgotten about that, yeah.
He's that deep in, of course he's going to keep lying. Of course they're going to keep pushing it. Those guys are too far gone. I mean, you know, their lies are too, you know, too far into their lies.
Both him, Giuliani, and Trump follow the Joseph Goebbels story. You know, it's like, if I say this long and strong enough, mm-hmm. people are going to believe me. And unfortunately, you have a constituency out there, you know, that buys into that stuff. I mean, it was overheard, and somebody brought up in one of their books that Donald Trump felt that Adolf Hitler was great, you know.
Right.
I mean, even Louis Farrakhan said he was wickedly great, but at least he underscored wickedly great, you know. But you know, in Trump's world, this man can walk on water. And all we got to do is just keep the same principles going and keep the hysteria, because Americans, most of that element you were talking about at the beginning of the show, Eric, that element, they don't freaking read. They don't care. As far as they're concerned, their man lost, and, you know, we got to do it one more time for the Gipper and that kind of stupidity.
And
that
Louis Farrakhan was not the head of any type of nation, so I know you mentioned even Louis Farrakhan, but I would like to also make sure that everybody understands the distinctions between the two, because it's not exactly apples and apples. So,
No, it isn't. That's why I said that, you know,
I want to make that distinction clear.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the white supremacist white man and the creation of anyone like a Louis Farrakhan as a reaction to a white supremacist system. So just wanted to create that. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that, yeah, they choose to be ignorant. They choose to be racist. I mean, look at this thing that's going on in Tennessee, where they don't even want people mentioning anything about about getting vaccines to the kids. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It is so racist, so wanting to promote their agenda that they are willing to put people in danger. And if we look at how Joe Biden has handled the pandemic as opposed to Trump, right? And really got on and then put the necessary resources where they needed to be. Like people were saying, Trump could have used the Defense Act or whatever act it was that he refused to use to get supplies and get vaccines and arms. But it's apparent now, it should be apparent to anyone, that the attempt, what Trump and these Republican people were attempting to do, was weaponize the virus. He was really trying weaponize it and have it affect people that were not his supporters. And so, but what he messed around and did, because he's a guy who thinks about himself solely and has these people solely blindly following now, is that the rise in cases is primarily in these Republican states. Rise in cases is going to start happening, you know, with these people now that we're outdoors again and people are feeling comfortable enough to be around each other. And you have states that are making it illegal to wear a mask or whatever, like Florida or whatever. And it's not illegal, but just certainly discouraging it. But it's clear now that they were trying to weaponize this virus and use it as a way to kill off undesirable people as they feel. So I saw one guy that had a clip, I guess on Joy's show, had a clip of a guy from Newsmax talking about he felt viruses were nature's way of weeding out people, and if certain people die off, numbers of people die off. This is how these people think. And just because they're able to say it, you know, complete sentences and all this lunacy, some of the people that support them or want to hear what they have to say or want them to say what they think so they can go ahead and believe in them, they follow this stuff blindly. And, you know, like I said, you know, I know a couple of people said, hey, it might end up being a win-win if it's only the Republican states and all of these type of folks that get the virus.
I beg to I'm not saying that I'm differing with you. Most of the problems are in the Republican states, but you have a whole county right here in New York, in blue state, blue New York, and Staten Island has the highest numbers
of pockets. Blue New York that has a lot of pockets. I mean, let's give people the context now, brother. Blue New York that has a lot of red pockets. Staten Island being one of them, right? So let's not be misleading in our differing of thing. It's because the same type of individuals do live in certain areas that you know, where they're opposite the majority. And even though New York is blue and Jersey is blue, certainly you have a lot of pockets where there are red areas or Republican areas that you know, they toe the line. Of course, so it's not surprising that in those areas, and maybe that's the point you're trying to make, is that that's where the dangerous part comes in, because you have these people in these red areas in a blue state that could potentially infect everybody else in that state that has been trying so hard and worked so hard. New York has worked so hard to bring the COVID cases down, right, and to reopen New York.
Exactly. Know? You would think, you know, I heard somebody from that great island, you know, which a lot of Curtis Sliwa's followers live on, and this was a registered nurse today, said, and she said proudly in front of the camera, oh, I haven't taken a shot. I don't know where she works as a registered nurse, but I would feel very uncomfortable. I mean, that should be mandatory. I mean, you want to work in the healthcare system, you know, you're entitled to have your political beliefs. But when it's affecting my life and the lives of other people, you know, I'm not with that. I mean, they found out, I grant you, you know, that they make you sign a waiver. When you take even with the Pfizer shot, I had to sign something, you know, acknowledging that this is an experimental process. And just the other day, they were able to find out with the Johnson & Johnson shot that was given that there were some problems with that. But at the end of the day, it's about saving my life, you know. And if you're going to go to work, and I don't care how many people that you know on your job who think and talk the same old nonsense, I just like to feel that there should be some sort of, you know, teeth in the laws that you know, you can't work here. It's like that group out in Houston, Texas, one of the most prestigious hospitals in the country, you know, and they're walking out, you know, because, you know, it's just what their beliefs are. And I can't help but feel that it's not just the science. It's mostly their political beliefs. You know, I was not in the least bit surprised when this lady said she lives in Staten Island, you know, and I'm just saying, well, here are the problems, you know, this is what goes on.
And, you know, certainly as African-Americans, we are the first ones as well also be kind of leery about the whole vaccine and the plans of America.
Yeah.
To want to give vaccines because it was literally used to try and kill us. So we are some of the ones who would be most apt to use it to not believe in that. And I know people who haven't gotten the vaccine because, you know, they want to wait to see what happens and all this other stuff, you know. For me, it wasn't an option having a father who's up there in age, and I wasn't going to take any chances. So that's the bottom line. And I think that when something could potentially kill you, then, you know, you kind of have to look at it, you know. I might not have gotten the shot for a while had it not been for those two factors of it, you know. But like you said, if something is talking about life and death and you have people that you trust their opinions and things like that, that tell you, that can indicate to you that for the most part it's safe, then, you know, you make up, you weigh your own options and make up your mind. But certainly, like I said, use common sense. You know, all of these individuals from these areas like to talk about, you know, you hear the old description of common sense in certain parts of America, just rural common sense people. Apparently common sense ain't so common, or it's a different type of common sense to them, you know, because it would seem that you could just look on your own. Don't believe anybody. Don't believe us. We're on the other side. We certainly know you're not going to believe people who are on the other side. Don't believe people that are just saying words that you want to hear, but look for yourself, you know. That's why each of us might, in changing the channel, stop over on Fox every once in a while to see, well, what is the opposing argument? What is the opposing perspective or point of view? And, you know, like most times I've tried to understand an opposing perspective or point of view, all I hear is denigration of people who have – the opposite view of them on that station, not
exactly.
Making their case. It's never making their case. It's always tearing down and talking. Okay, give me the facts. Give me the facts of why your position is one that I should adopt. And that's not one that critical thinking is not something clearly, especially when you combine that with racism and having a whole system and a whole society built on just made up stories and created facts and all of this, all just to create a way of life and a story to be told about themselves. It's really unbelievable. You know, they would risk their own children's safety. They're willing
to
risk their own people's safety, man, for this fabricated American way of life that they've created, white American way of life that they've created. And it is unbelievable that they will stop at nothing. This is shit that's been going on since I was like 5 years old, bro.
And
here I am, 60 years old, and they're talking about, well, trying to find ways to keep black people from keep people from voting.
Yeah,
that shows you they will never give up.
To think that that's the minority element, and of course we're not a monolith as a nation, but I mean a lot of it is just bent on ignorance. And
I'm not even going to waste time of liking to think that there's a few of them. I'm trying to get to the objective, and if you're in the way, you're going to get run over. We ain't playing no more. I'm not trying to figure out why you feel this way. I'm not hoping that you're going to come around to your senses. I'm not being puzzled about the nonsensical way that you're thinking. I ain't got time. That's your problem. If you stand in the way, you're going to get run over. You come try to take my rights, like they say about their guns. Yeah, come try to take them. See what happens. So I'm at. I'm not trying to figure nothing out. I'm not talking about the Constitution. I'm none of that because they don't mean none of it. Their word is nothing. They got no credibility every step of the way. The way that they're trying to play chess and maneuver their little way around so they can get what they want. They don't care about other people. And they never did. If they did, they wouldn't live the way they live. They wouldn't worship
exactly.
The people they worship and act like they're trying to be godly. They're Satan. They worship Satan. That's what they worship.
Yeah. Well, they're elements of Satan, as far as I'm concerned. You know, but
that's why the brothers used to call them devils. Because they do devilish stuff. If you do enough evil stuff, people are going to call you evil. People, but
yeah.
I've been known to have a temper. If I do enough temper stuff, people are going to say I got a temper.
I hear you, my
and
brother.
You do.
Like, don't push me to the edge, because.
hey, man. You know, I mean, we need to get to what we need to do to get
right.
To get these devils' foot off our neck and stop trying to figure out when they're going to decide or whatever. You know, stop acting like they're going to be down. Stop acting like they've already made the. I mean, you know, it's about the numbers. And if we're trying to massage the numbers and behind the scenes, that's all well and good. But it's about the numbers. At the end of the day, do we have the votes? That's one thing. One thing that I got from my uncle
that's
back
right.
in the day. Do we have the votes? All the other stuff is talk.
That's
you
right.
know.
And then, show me what you're working with.
That's right, man. I mean, that's what we have to do.
Down to that bag. That's
yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of posturing going on, as you can only imagine here in Washington, D.C. But the bottom line is, show me the money, okay? Because tomorrow,
right.
gentlemen, tomorrow, every household with kids begin to get a direct deposit into their account,
$2,000. Oh, yeah, right.
Every month, Eric. For a tax credit, it doesn't matter where you're Republican, Democrat, independent, it don't matter. So, folks, the leveling the playing field. Money walks. Thank you. You know,
but the Democrats need to stand up and say, we gave that to you. We did this.
That's right.
Just like the orange man wanted to sign his name on the checks and put his name on the checks, act like they're personally coming from him. We don't have to be that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to be that conceited and narcissistic, but like I said,
right.
like you guys have always heard me say, the Democrats need to up their PR game. It's okay
right.
to talk
I,
a little
I agree.
Class and walk with a little swagger. It's okay to say, did your boy have that? Look, we got 180 million people with at least one shot in the arm. You're feeling better. You're going back out. You get to go to the concerts, the sporting events, the this, the that. Were you doing that when Trump was in office just six, however many
right.
months ago? No, you weren't.
Right.
Do you want to go back to that? Your every day, your daily life interrupted? Do you really want to go back to that?
Way,
that's what these people represent. That's what the Democrats need to do. They never want to be so damn humble all the time and not speak up.
That's the
and
problem.
Eric, the tagline is, and oh, by the way, that $2,000 is in your account as of 2 seconds ago.
The tagline needs to be, you're welcome. Yeah, we did that. You're welcome. Stop complaining, man. You get to go outside. You're welcome.
Yeah.
From the Democrats.
Get out of my face.
You know?
We got so much to learn. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, we don't like to blow our own horn at times, and it's taken for granted. But, I mean, the deal is the lunacy that we were dealing with before.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
talking
it,
about.
It just
exactly.
amazes me. Yeah. Just absolute lunacy.
We kept trying to tell everybody. Nobody was paying attention. We were talking about the 25th Amendment the first weekend of his administration. But no, you all got to wait till the books come out now to say the man was off the rails. His trolley car was never on the rails, okay?
Yeah. it's deep. To me, the justice system cannot work fast enough to get him out the picture. I don't want to think in 2024 that he's got a shot see if he can cultivate something again, man. We've come too far now to turn around and go back to this ridiculousness. And thank God Rudy Giuliani seems like he's ready to take a spot in someone's prison. You know, I just hope it applies to Donald Trump within the next 4 years as well.
I don't even understand
man.
why the picture of him with the dye running down the side of his face looking crazy is not a Democrat button, a Democratic button on some Democratic swag or merchandise somewhere. Well, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, this is a social media PR campaign driven society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the only team. We are the only team that don't want to talk about their record, that don't want to tout
them. Yeah.
So we're
making noise in subtle ways. I mean, I just hope the momentum continues in our favor.
We can't do subtle. We don't live in a subtle society no more.
I know. No, I hear what you're saying, man. You know, it's like you said about De Blasio, right?
De Blasio wasn't trying to see what was going on, right? It's like, you know, all that crime going down. Everybody's getting shot at every 5 minutes. You've seen it on the news. And every time you saw him, well, our police department is doing okay, and they're doing no money.
Yeah, and hopefully we won't have to hear that again. I mean, and that's what I talk about. I know that we have, you know, there's a whole pathology that we have to analyze within our own community, and you just can't dismiss that. You know, we have a crisis right now. I expect you, if I'm one of your constituents, even if I'm not, if I'm visiting your locality, I want to feel that I'm comfortable wherever I go. You know,
right.
I want to go down to D.C. I want Byron to get me some tickets for the Smithsonian. I want to go to Atlanta. I want to feel comfortable when I go.
Right.
I want, and that's the thing.
And as you're talking about the New York, specifically about New York, to get back to that, it seemed as though he didn't want to address what was happening on the ground, right? I mean, to me, I mean, every time I'm watching from over here in Jersey, when people would, you know, be concerned about this crime wave that seemed to be really peaking, every time I saw the guy who sent, you know, he would always back in his police department, great, understand, but it always seemed, to me at least, like, yeah, you don't seem like you're really getting the problem, Mr. Mayor. I mean, yeah, what you're saying,
thank you,
for statistics, maybe you're right, and maybe that works out for you living at Gracie Mansion having police protection, but, you know, the people that's waiting on the subway and they have to walk the streets, they ain't feeling so safe. And whatever the
exactly
perception, you need to be about changing that perception, bro, as opposed to just fighting back and talk. I don't know. He just really seemed like a Democratic mayor, but like real jerky. Like a jerk, man. I don't know.
Right. I mean, it's sad. And I don't know what more to compare it to. I mean, you know, he had his moment. You know, he was a big Dinkins supporter, and what applied to Dinkins certainly does not apply today to this, but something's got to change, you know. And you're right, we need to blow our horn. You know, I was talking to Dr. Una Clark the other day, who gave great praise in a private conversation to your cousin Donald Payne Jr. And, you know, there's a fight that we have to be in for right now, that people have got to be, it's got to be ingrained in their vision that what it is that we've done. I fear for Kamala Harris that someday, you know, what her impact is to this administration may not get the kind of recognition that it should get at the time when we need to go out there and vote again. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's all these things. And, you know, it's just sad that, we've come so far. We've made gains. But we are in a desperate crisis right now where we have to hold on to what we got, and that's it. There's just not enough talk about it. I know we have some talk, more visibility in some of these cable stations, but it's just not enough. People
yeah,
need to be reminded that that's the thing. People.
There it is, Wayne. You get the last word. We got to go. We're out of time.
Sorry.
Go on and give the people your send-off, Brother Byron Saunders, your
last
word.
Peace and love always. Be straight. Be great. Be positive. Be love.
There it is. Brother Byron Saunders, we'll talk again. Talk to you again, my brother. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Give the people your words of encouragement.
Hey, keep the faith. That's all I got to say. Keep the faith. Hopefully, things will be realized.
Simple but true. Keep the faith. We'll talk to you again, Wayne Gilman.
All right.
This has been Kay's Son and Friends. Those are the friends. Byron Saunders, Wayne Gilman, legendary men, both in their own right. History, news. I'm just the one who gives a little entertainment every once in a while and let you Get your anger off vicariously through me. I'm out. K-Sun, I'm K-Sun, Eric Citizen Payne. You know, you got to pay attention. Let's pay attention to what's going on in this process for freedom. All right, next time, K-Sun and Friends. Knowing that our love may soon be gone.